Hi, this is Cy Godfrey. I was a manager of KCSB in 1969, going into 1970, when the Bank of America was set on fire. And I did not set it on fire myself. And I reported on that. And I'm here now for the 60th reunion of the station. It was really a baby when I was the manager, and we had a bumper sticker that said KCSB FM, buy an FM radio, because the station started out with what they called carrier current, and you could only get it in the dormitories and on your AM radio. So then it was a big deal that KCSB got an FM license. And many people, I think, don't know this, but the Regents hold the license, the Regents of the University of California. And they gave it to the Santa Barbara campus first as an experiment, KCSB, because they didn't want to give it to UCLA or Berkeley, because they didn't want a campus radio station being heard by people off campus, like just ordinary people in Los Angeles, because they thought the students might be a little bit nutty. So UCSB being where it is, as we all know, there aren't a lot of, you know, for lack of a better word, ordinary people living around. Even Isla Vista then was mostly a student community, probably still is. So they thought, okay, it's pretty safe to try it at the Santa Barbara campus. And that's how we were the first ones to get the FM license. And then it was only 10 watts. And you really couldn't hear the station beyond Isla Vista and campus. And now the station's much stronger, has much more wattage. Well, first I was news director, and so news was always, to me, my first love at the station. So when all the student unrest was occurring, my philosophy was, and others agreed with me, let's not editorialize, let's just cover it, let's just get out what's going on. And there was, as it's all been written up in the papers and documented, there was a lot of rioting and disruption in Isla Vista after the William Kunstler speech. And I can't remember exactly the sequence, but it went on for days. And I think everyone was surprised that the bank burned. I remember, because I was out there with other people, and the way we would report on the air, because we didn't have anything remote, is we would call in on the telephone. We had a bunch of dimes. We'd put it to you kids don't remember this at all. But there were telephone booths all around, and they took a dime. The dime was what it cost to make a local call, and then we would call into the station, and they had a way of electronically putting us on the air. And I remember one night, the police had basically abandoned Isla Vista after something happened. I think they were stoned, or they didn't have enough people. There were too many people here. And I remember one night, a bunch of, I don't know if they were students or outside people. I think there were a lot of outside people there that the administration and others called, maybe even Ronald Reagan called them outside agitators. But they rocked a police car back and forth, and they were able to turn it over, and then they set it on fire. And the thing burned for like 6 hours because it was all full of gasoline. And I don't think that's the night the bank burned. But it, in my mind, established kind of a lawlessness in Isla Vista for those days until the National Guard came in. And then the night the bank burned, I was reporting, and I saw a bunch of people try and break open the doors to the bank by pushing in trash dumpsters. And I think they were successful. And I kind of like looked around, you know, inside the bank. I mean, you know, from the door, I didn't go in. And then I thought, well, okay, nothing's happening, or I'll go back to the station. So I walked back to the station, and then I guess somebody said the bank's on fire, and I went out of the station and I looked, and you could see something like, you know, the glow of a fire. And I went over to the bank, and it was on fire, and I called in my report, which, you know, is, I guess you know the station still has the audio of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've definitely been through those archives a bunch of times.
Oh, that's nice.
But what about the station closure after the bank burning? I know that they weren't directly following.
Yeah, the station closure occurred not that night. It occurred I mean, certain things I remember very well. I think it occurred, the police had regained control of Isla Vista, and I think the National Guard was called in, and I think they were part of regaining control. And we kept reporting from the streets because we were supposed to have permission to do that. Well, not only supposed to, but we did, and we had some kind of press identification. But I remember I called in the station to give a report, and one of the people here at the station said to me, the vice chancellor says he wants to talk to you immediately and get to the station.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back, and this was about 2 in the morning, maybe 1:30. It took me like 20 minutes to walk back. And I think I called him. He had left a number, and he was, I think he said he was at the sheriff's command center, and this was Dr. Goodspeed. I think his first name was Stephen. He was vice chancellor. And he said, I am ordering you to go off the air. I said, what? He said, yeah, take the station off the air. And I said, why? And he said, because you and your reporters have been reporting police movements in Isla Vista. And I said, no, we haven't. We've just been saying, you know, where generally they are, and you know, not like there's a policeman here on this corner, but just kind of to watch out, you know, like there's a high concentration here, don't go into that area because you're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, that's what I heard, and that's a problem, the police don't like it. And he was basically saying the sheriff has directed you to go off the air. And I kind of, as nicely as I could, said, and you're going to do what the sheriff says? You're going to tell us to go off the air because the sheriff tells you to? And he said, yes. And so I said, well, the regents hold the license, so you're telling me that I have no choice, is that right? He said, yeah, that's right. So off we went. We went off the air.
And for how long were you off air?
At least a day, and then I had talks with Dr. Goodspeed and with the Chancellor, Vernon Cheadle. And somehow it was arranged that I would go down to the sheriff's station and meet with the sheriff himself. And the guy was a real jerk,
mm-hmm.
and old and nasty. And he kept me waiting. I was sitting on this wood bench out there, like, for 2 hours. Like, when I came in, I, you know, explained to the guy at the front who I was and why I was there. And he acted like, you know, well, you know, like, you're not supposed to be here. What the hell are you doing? You know, and just go over there and sit over there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Sit over there on that bench. And so finally the sheriff came out after about 2 hours, said, okay, come on in. And, you know, says, well, you're a dangerous station. And I said, well, how about if we stay on the air during the day and play music? He went, well, all right, I guess that might be all right. So that was the deal with him. And then what happened, which was interesting, was KPFK in Los Angeles started broadcasting what the sheriffs were doing. Because one thing they were doing was they were running around Isla Vista, and anybody that was on the street, especially a guy, they were beating them up. They were also breaking into people's apartments. Like if somebody was on the street and they saw them run into an apartment, the sheriffs would literally, and I at first I didn't believe this, but it's true, they would break down the door of the apartment and beat up everybody in the apartment. So KPFK was reporting all this, and they were having students interviewed on the air for KPFK who had said, my apartment was broken into, I was beaten up, I'm bleeding from the head. So the sheriff didn't like that. So then word came from Dr. Goodspeed, I think it was, okay, you can go back on the air. And he never said you can go back on the air because we don't like KPFK, but that was obviously what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff decided we were preferable to KPFK.